Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the OFR Farm Report. With me, as always, my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey, Matt, anything going on?
Not a whole lot. Of course, it's the All-Star break now. We're recording this on Monday night during the Home Run Derby. No major league games also means no minor league games as well. So we're going to have a little bit of a cold spell here for a few days.
Yep. And as we mentioned in the prior podcast, we're actually going to skip a week. We're not going to record next week with only three minor league games on the docket for most levels. However, Matt, we're going to double up this week. We're going to record again tomorrow for a podcast that should release on Wednesday. We're going to be joined by a guest, and we're going to talk the draft. I'm excited.
I am too. It's, as of now, they've gone through the first 2 days of the draft. It's been really interesting. Obviously, we'll get more into it as we get the third day done tomorrow, but it's definitely been a very interesting draft and not like one we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, it's amazing. All of Dana Brown's drafts, and I don't think any of them has been similar. I think it's odd that he seems to be completely able to switch gears depending on the talent available, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, two seasons ago when you had the five-round draft, I mean, he was able to pivot and came out of that one pretty well. And already seen results out of last year's draft, and now this year's draft is already looking very nice.
Yeah, so far so good, I hope. Yep. And then we'll go more in depth tomorrow with our guest, which will be once and future Platinum Sombrero co-host Adam Doc Herbert,
somebody who knows a lot more about the draft game than we do.
Yeah, we're bringing in the ringer, so please tune in tomorrow for our special draft podcast. The last time we had Doc on, it was way back in 2019. I think it was like our seventh podcast that we did. And now we're in the 90s. We're approaching 100 episodes. Can you believe it?
No kidding. We were still trying to figure out all the technical stuff back then. Occasionally we'd lose an episode, something like that. But we've hit our groove now. And for as far as tomorrow night's concerned, we're going out to the mound. We're tapping our arms and calling Doc in from the pen to give us a hand.
Yeah. I don't know if he's left-handed or right-hander, so I'm tapping both arms just to be sure.
And shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Make sure we get all the bases covered.
All right. Well, we actually got a sneak peek of this week, and we recorded a day late last week. So almost all the news that happened early last week. So we actually talked about it last week, all the promotions and, of course, the trade of Drew Waters and Andrew Hoffman and CJ Alexander to Kansas City. So with that all the way, I think we're just going to go straight to the affiliates.
We'll start off in Gwinnett. Very interesting week with Gwinnett. I mean, they split their series 3-3, but it's mainly because there was a total lack of offense for the week. They just couldn't generate much of anything. It's the first week without Drew Waters in the lineup, so they just couldn't do much of anything. Over six games, they only generated 14 runs of offense total. But the good thing is, as far as the pitching staff's concerned, the pitching staff only gave up 20 runs over those four games. Over those six games, and the starting pitching did very well. The one bad start for the week was Waskari Noah. He's been kind of up and down. Sometimes he has good starts. Sometimes he has bad ones. But on this one, it was not a good start this week. He gave up six runs over six innings on eight hits, two of which were home runs. So not great for that. But everybody else did very well. Freddie Tarnock in his first start at AAA was very impressive. Gave up just one run over six innings on just two hits. Kyle Muller had another solid start. Two runs over six innings, seven strikeouts. And once again, he didn't walk anybody, so he just continues his role there. Tucker Davidson had an okay start, gave up two runs over five innings, but it was a very inefficient five innings. He hit 98 pitches over five innings, but he did escape and he did get a win out of it. And Bryce Elder, he had probably his best start of the season. He gave up six hits over seven innings of shutout ball. Struck out five, didn't walk anybody. So the other four starting pitchers outside of Oscar Noah gave up just five runs over 24 innings. So very good work from the starting rotation. In the bullpen, Tyler Ferguson, who had just gotten called up from Mississippi, had two scoreless one-inning outings. Michael Tonkin, who had done very good work for Gwinnett this season, had three more scoreless outings, including a save. Jay Jackson, he's been doing very good work since he got to Gwinnett. Two scoreless one-inning outings. I have to imagine that if somebody else goes down for in the bullpen, and at least in the short term, that Jay Jackson might be the next man up. He hasn't been on the major league roster this season, but he is on the 40-man roster, and he and Jesus Cruz are the only ones at Gwinnett right now. They're on the 40-man roster in the bullpen, so I think Jay Jackson might be getting his shot here before too long. Now, going to the offense there, like I said, there wasn't much offense to speak of. I'll hit a couple of points here. Mike Ford, after he got optioned out from Gwinnett, optioned out from Atlanta, he had a decent week. He had six hits, including four doubles, so and also had five walks, and he was pretty much the entire offense for Gwinnett this week. Just want to touch on Braden Shoemaker at shortstop. He had a real bad week. He only had one hit in 18 at-bats. He did have a double and a couple of and three stolen bases, but yeah, just it has not been a good season overall for Braden Shoemaker. He's had a really just miserable July. In 14 games in July, he's hitting 130, 212, 239 for a 451 OPS. In his six games he played in this week, three were at shortstop, two were at second base, and one game he came in late as a pinch running replacement. Shortstop is primary position, but they are trying to give him some versatility, and they may be looking at him as more of a utility player at this point.
Yeah, I have to say I've been kind of disappointed with Gwinnett's offense just as a whole. With all of these veterans on the roster, I was expecting it to be a little more, I don't know, explosive offense. But I'm, you know, just looking at the team, is only OPSing at 698 here at the break. That's the lowest of all the four full season affiliates. The best hitters on the team have been Phil Gosselin, who's now with the Los Angeles Angels, and Kramer Robertson, who's now with the New York Mets. So maybe Mike Ford can do something, had another power bat in the middle of the lineup. Even the two prospects, as we said, Drew Waters, we talked about last week, you know, has never really gotten comfortable at AAA. And then, yeah, Braden Shoemaker has just been very disappointing this season. And to the point where I'm kind of not sure. I'm not sure what's going on there. You talked about him changing positions and things like that. If they think that this is the kind of hitter he is, then I think maybe they should package him up before while he still has some prospect shine. Because wow,
yeah. Because I mean, it's nothing about his stat line that screams like, oh yeah, he just needs a little more time. Or right now, he's just kind of been meh this season. I mean, it's kind of like Drew Waters has been. And looking at around, I mean, guys you expect to be putting up big numbers, like Travis DeMeritt, ever since he got sent down from Atlanta, hasn't done a whole lot of anything. And Grayson Genista, who's up by the only other position player on the roster that can be charitably described as a prospect, I mean, he hasn't had a good season. He'll get on a little power run once in a while, but that's about it for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a disappointing year offensively. The pitching has really come on nicely, and you've talked about how well the bullpen has pitched, especially. But you know, the rotation, it seems like, you know, some of the starters that we've been kind of waiting for a while are taking a step up. So that's certainly positive. There are good things happening at Gwinnett. It's just none of them are really offensive. Sorry, it was just kind of looking at the teams as a whole right now to kind of taking stock.
Yeah. And of course, obviously development doesn't really take place so much at the AAA level. I mean, most of these guys who are here are just kind of like Kyle Muller. I mean, he's not a finished product, but I mean, he's ready to contribute to the rotation if needed. If one of the starting pitchers went down, I imagine he might be the next man up. And then, but beyond that, as far as the position players are concerned, it's a lot of minor league vets and 4A type players that can just step in for a brief period if needed. But as we saw, they tried to sneak Phil Gosselin through waivers, didn't take, and he got picked up by the Angels today, and they stash him on their roster, and imagine we'll be seeing him in Atlanta again this weekend when the Angels come to town.
And possibly in Gwinnett next year when he signs as a minor league free agent.
Yeah, unless he takes up a coaching position alongside Sean Casmore. All right, moving on to definitely better news. Mississippi has had a tremendous run here as of late. They took on Rocket City Trash Pandas this week in Emmett Pearl, and 6-for-6, they swept the series. I mean, a lot of offense in their six games. They scored at least 6 runs in 4 of the 6 games. Just tremendous all the way around. The best part of the week by far was the starting pitching. I mean, Tanner Gordon, who has had a really rough go of it at Mississippi, pitched 4 innings, gave up 3 runs, and those are the only 3 runs given up by a starting pitcher in Mississippi this week. And just kind of go through the list here real quick. Jared Schuster, and he was the OFR pitcher of the weekend for good reason. He gave up just 2 hits. Those are the only base runners. He gave up over 7 innings, and he struck out 12, and he did it on a very efficient 88 pitches. And that was before he got go to the Futures game and pitched there. Hayden Deal, on a spot start, pitched 4 shutout innings, did very well for himself. Darius Vines had a really good start, and he finished strong in this one, unlike what we'd seen in over several starts here recently. He pitched 6 shutout innings, scattered just 4 base runners. Alan Rangel's kind of almost exactly the same stat line. No runs, 2 hits over 6 innings, struck out 7, walked 3. And Dylan Dodd, in his first double-A start after being promoted from Rome on Sunday, he pitched 6 shutout innings, gave up just 1 hit, struck out 7, and walked 3. So very good start for him. And like I said, 4 out of the 5 starters this week, five out of the 6 starters this week did very well. Over the stat line for all the starting pitchers, including Tanner Gordon's line, 33 innings, 14 hits, 3 runs, 41 strikeouts, 10 walks for a 0.82 ERA and a 0.73 whip for the week. You put up those kind of numbers, you're going to win a whole lot of ball games.
Yeah. You don't have to be stat savvy to know that that's really, really good. Just in general, this was a terrific week for Braves minor league pitching. That you mentioned there was a couple of six innings pitched, no runs for Mississippi. That's a recurring theme kind of up and down.
Oh, yeah. And, in the bullpen, had some good efforts there as well. Lisandro Santos, in his first double-A appearances after being promoted from Rome this week, he had some key moments as well. Over 2 appearances, he pitched 3 innings of shutout ball. Odavi Javier, I don't know what got into him, but he had 3 more scoreless appearances, and it's gone 17 outings without giving up an earned run, dating all the way back to May 30th. So we're approaching 7 weeks now where he's not allowed an earned run. And Indigo Diaz, he had one of his really good weeks. He had 3 scoreless outings, covering 2 2/3 innings. So a lot of strong support from the bullpen to back up that starting pitching in a big way.
Odavi Javier has been a favorite for a long time, not anything to do with his prospect status, but just his competitiveness on the mound. And I'm loving this string of good appearances from him. And I'm ready for him to get up to Gwinnett and kind of take the next step and maybe defy all expectations and make it to the major leagues. We've got all these veterans at Gwinnett, none of them's going to do anything. I'm ready for them to get swept aside here. And what I'm saying is it's time for the rise of Odavi Javier.
It is. You can see they kind of started slowly picking away at those veterans on the Gwinnett staff over the last few weeks. It seems like one per week's kind of getting either their walking papers or being put on the restricted list. I think they've got rid of about 3 or 4 of those pitchers over the last few weeks. So I think they're slowly making way for the younger generation.
Yeah, it was Brandon Sittiger this week. The week before that, it was Brandon Brennan. Right, and it was Nick Vincent the week before that. At some point, Brad Brock has been put on the suspended list, and I have no idea what that's all about. And I don't care. So, let's start the great reliever migration here.
Yeah, exactly. As far as the offense concerned, I would talk about they had some big offensive numbers at Mississippi this week, and a lot of it was due to the newcomers. We had Vaughn Grissom. He had a very, very strong week. He had 3 3-hit games for the week, had a triple, a homer, 3 stolen bases. It should have been 4. The one time he was caught stealing for the week, he overslid the base. and he had 5 RBI, and he had a 1.1154 OPS for the week in his first week at AA. So yeah, he's off to a pretty nice start. Justin Henry Malloy, the new left fielder for Mississippi, his numbers weren't as great, but he had a really good week. He had some moments there where he had a 3-run walk-off home run, I believe it was on Friday night. Saw his interview after that. He said it's the first walk-off he's had since he was a kid. So he was very giddy during that interview. Drew Lugbauer had another decent week, had 7 for 25, had 2 more home runs. He's getting a lot more base runners in front of him these days with Cody Milligan, Grissom, and Justin Henry Malloy hitting in front of him. So that should be bumping up his RBI totals. And even it seems to have bumped up the game of some of the guys who haven't fared quite as well this season. Yariel Gonzalez has taken over at third base now after the trade of CJ Alexander, and he had 2 3-hit games and an OPS of over 1,000 this week. And Trey Harris had a really good week, went 6 for 13 with 2 doubles and 3 RBI. So they're getting contributors from all over the field for the Mississippi Braves. And after this 6-game stretch where they swept the series, they've won 9 out of 10 and now have a 14-4 record. All the records were swept clean midseason, and they've started the second half 14-4, and they've got a 3-game lead in the Southern League South Division. And hopefully this will eventually lead to a playoff berth later on this season.
Yeah, that'd be great. And it's also great seeing that bump in production by cousin Trey there. Hopefully he gets on a little bit of a run here. He could use it.
Yeah, he's had a pretty rough season, almost kind of a veteran backup role at this point. But yeah, it's really nice for him to see something like that. And hopefully he'll get some a little bit of extra playing time out there.
All right, in Rome, it wasn't quite a sweep, but it was against the Bowling Green Hot Rods, who have been a thorn in their side for, you know, basically since they combined these divisions into the new South Atlantic League. So winning 4 of 6 games is very positive. You mentioned that the records got swept, so Rome is now leading the South Atlantic League South Division by 3.5 games over Bowling Green after their series win. And their run differential now for the second half is already at plus 47. Just a tremendous explosion of play, just both pitching and offense clicking, even with the loss of Vaughn Grissom and Justin Henry Malloy from the top of the lineup. The R Braves scored a bunch of runs this week. Cal Conley came up and did a really nice job. He went 9 for 27, had 2 doubles and a homer and a stolen base to basically do his very best Vaughn Grissom impersonation in the number 2 spot. They got some contributions from some guys that have been kind of put into part-time roles, like Willie Carter and Christian Robinson, who at this point is almost like a platoon. Both sides of that did really well. Carter, who has monster power when he can make contact, had 2 homers and a double, and that was his 3 hits for the week and 7 at-bats. Christian Robinson, 6 for 14 with 3 doubles and a homer. And then Bo Phillip, who's pretty much locked down third base at this point, 5 for 19 with 3 walks and a hit by pitch. I honestly hadn't been really paying much attention to him, but he has had a 383 on base percentage since the middle of June, which I wouldn't have imagined from him. He's been in such a offensive funk basically since he got to high A. It looks like maybe he's putting it together, not necessarily with a high batting average, but drawing walks and getting on base just any way he can. And that's obviously very helpful. They also got some assistance from Jordan Cowan, who is technically in Rome on rehab assignment from AA Mississippi. I'm wondering if once he's cleared to go full bore, he might just stay in Rome. Because I don't know if there's a spot for him in Mississippi right now.
No.
On the pitching side, J.J. Niekro came up from Augusta and made a really nice first impression. 6 innings, only allowed 1 run in his debut. Luis de Alvia, 6 1/3 innings, striking out 4, did not allow any runs. Rodri Muniz had kind of an inconsistent start, but he got through six innings. He allowed three earned runs, but he also struck out eight. And Jake McSteen made a nice emergency start. He threw four and a third shutout innings, and Rome won that game 5-3. So that was a nice pickup as Braves were kind of the Braves were kind of reconstituting their rotation in the wake of losing Andrew Hoffman and Dylan Dodd pretty much at the same time. On the bullpen, Austin Smith continues his recent good work, and Dylan Spain also had two good scoreless appearances. So it'll be interesting to see how long Austin Smith sticks around Rome, hopefully through the end of the season, but I could see him moving up to Mississippi to backfill somebody like Odavi Javier.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a good one.
Well, the last couple of weeks, Matt, we've been bummed to have to talk about Augusta. Well, not this week.
we like talking well about Augusta. Just give us something to talk about.
Yes. Well, they really kind of put it to Fredericksburg in the Fred Nat's first visit to Augusta. It was a four-game out of six series win for the Green Jackets. So that bumps their record up to a much more respectable 7-13, and they're out of the cellar for now.
Hooray!
The pitching really kind of led the way. Obviously, they lost J.J. Niekro, but Rainery Rodriguez, who's pitched pretty well since he's come up from the FCL Braves, he bookended the series and gave up only three hits combined and nine and a third innings over the two starts. The second start being kind of an abbreviated, almost like a bullpen game. I think they just literally ran out of pitchers. I don't think they really wanted to run Rainery Rodriguez out there twice in the same series, but they were kind of forced to. But he did a nice job. AJ Smith-Shawver had a kind of career milestone, got to six innings, only allowed two runs. And that, Matt, is a quality start, the first of his pro career.
We like it.
Yep. Struck out eight, too. So really nice outing for him. Samuel Strickland, five shutout innings. That's continues a run of good pitching from him. He switched over from the bullpen. His outings still tend to be on the short side, obviously. I think he's still kind of getting stretched out between being a bullpen arm for the beginning and then also spending some time on the injured list. But when he has been in there, he's been quality since he's been off the injured list. He has a 2.31 ERA in those four starts and two relief appearances. On the offensive side, the OFR position player of the week goes to Caden Morton, a young outfielder from that 2019 draft that we always talk about that featured all that young prep talent in day three as we come to day three of the 22 draft tomorrow. For some reason, Brandon Mosquito has been out of the lineup recently, so Morton has kind of taken advantage of his absence. This week he went 8-for-17, three doubles, a triple, and a home run, three-run bomb, and a Augusta 8-1 victory on Friday. The infield also had some quality play this week. Braulio Vasquez and Geraldo Quintero, you know, were on base, stealing bases. Caleb Durbin had a couple home runs. And I also wanted to point out Elizel Stevens, who has only been up for a few weeks and hasn't got a whole lot of playing time. But when he has played for Augusta, he's hit .526 and he hit his first home run in Augusta this week. So I don't know if that'll equate to more playing time. They've got a ton of infielders in Augusta. All right, down in the complex, there's quite frankly not a lot going on in the DSL. We're obviously keeping an eye on Douglas Glode, one of the top amateur signees this year. He had a nice week, went 4-for-11, and included his first professional home run last Monday. We're also still watching right-hander Didier Fuentes, who's been one of the best pitchers in the DSL so far in the season, through another four scoreless innings. His batting line against this year is 133, 217, 287. And if you're into statistics, you know that's really good. I don't know, Matt. I don't know what he throws. I don't know if it's, you know, I know nothing about him except his stats look good. So looking forward to him coming over to the States soon.
The other day, somebody was asking me about how does Kirby Yates look at the FCL. I was like, your guess is as good as mine. I got to go on a statistics. It's just a rumor that there's actually games going on there because we certainly can't see any of them. But just rest assured there's good things happening down there.
Yeah, I know some of the other teams at least put like a static camera that you can kind of watch the games happen. I mean, there's no announcers, no nothing, you know, there's no camera work being done, but you can at least kind of see what's going on and see the pitchers and stuff like that. The Braves, of course, don't do that. They treat everything as a national secret. So,
and information is currency.
That's right. So in the FCL, like you said, Kirby Yates made an appearance through a scoreless inning. So that's good. That's his first actual game action since 2020. So hopefully I hadn't heard anything that he had any setbacks or anything like that. Jaceel De La Cruz and Alan Winans from Gwinnett also had some appearances. De La Cruz had two appearances, pitched two innings, and had four strikeouts without giving up a run. Winans had a start and pitched two innings, gave up a hit with two strikeouts.
Yeah, I imagine the case of Kirby Yates, they just kind of want to get his feet wet right before the All-Star break, just kind of get him in front of quote-unquote competitive baseball players, and then they'll move him up through the organization pretty quickly. Obviously, it doesn't take relievers anywhere near as long as it does for starters to get ready. So I imagine over the next couple of weeks, you'll really see him rise through the ranks pretty quickly and spend time at least a couple of different affiliates.
Yeah, and it's also trade deadline coming up, right? And they want to know if, you know, are we going to be able to count on Kirby Yates at some point? Or, you know, if there's a setback, let's find out now. And we can adjust our plans accordingly, right?
Yeah, and I imagine they probably want to test him out at some point, see, hey, can this guy pitch on back-to-back days?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right, that's going to conclude our affiliate wrap-up. Matt, you got anything else?
No. Another pretty interesting week. Lots of dominant starting pitching, and we'll see how things go next week. But by then, hopefully, we'll see where all the new draftees are coming in, and hopefully they'll start reporting to the complex for too long, and we'll see probably a few of them start showing up in Augusta in the near future.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. So, like I said, our next show will be tomorrow, our Draft Spectacular featuring Adam Doc Herbert, and then we are skipping a week. So after that, our next show should be on or around August 1 or 2, which is the trading deadline.
Yeah, we might have a little bit to talk about at that point, too. But we will be doing a written version of the Farm Report this coming week. So although we will not have a podcast, we will have still the written version of it to entertain your eyeballs.
Yep. So check out outfieldflyrule.com for that and for the draft analysis that I am currently toiling on. All right, everybody. Hope you guys have a great week.
Have a good one.
Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal. Tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Rien, c'est payé, balayé, oublié. Je me fous du passé avec mes souvenirs. J'ai allumé le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs. Je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayé pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie